Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Don't you all just hate it when you come to church and you have to suffer through a sermon that talks about tithing and stewardship? Having to listen to some 20-something-year-old dude tell you how you have to spend your money, time, skills to support the kingdom of God? We've all been there. Where a stewardship sermon was used to foster guilt. But I want to invite us all into thinking about stewardship in a new way. And so the title of this sermon is, "Stewardship is not a bad word." The first time I heard a sermon on stewardship, the sermon was specifically on tithing, and it was in a Baptist church, so you know that the sermon was a little bit longer than my own. The preacher spent the whole sermon on stewardship talking only about money and did so in a way that fostered guilt into giving to the church. He focused on how it was our duty to one another to make sacrifices for our brothers and sisters, and it was only through our sacrifice that we became closer to God. And while there are certainly elements of truth in this, it leaves out some critical pieces as to why we do this work of emptying oneself for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is more than just to feel closer to God or to justify oneself, but it is in these things that we hold on to that actually get in the way of our worship of God when we begin to put them in the place of God. Now, this isn't about living into suffering just for suffering's sake. I'm not asking you to give up being able to afford food in place of supporting the church. But if you are sitting there debating whether or not to buy another fishing boat or to help give money to the elevator, then maybe we need to have a talk, right? But say you can't give as much to the church as you would like. There are other ways to contribute. Reading on a Sunday morning like Jim did this morning. Chatting with Lois to help plan some special music. Right? Maybe? Beautifying the church so it continues to be a welcoming place. Or baking the bread on a Sunday morning. The list goes on. You see, when Jesus was being tested in the temple, they were basing this all on the thought that Jesus would be this warrior or this king that would come and overthrow the government and bring in a different reign by sword and bloodshed. So when Jesus says to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, it really stops them in their tracks. To compound this, they also get caught in iconography, or a worship of an image that is not God. There are two things going on here. First, a coin that would have had Tiberius's head on it, the Caesar of the time, would have been for Roman purchases such as taxes or buying something in the market. If they wanted to give to the temple, the practice would have been that they would exchange this denarius for a shekel that would not have Tiberius's face on it. And the other thing that these coins would literally say in Greek, of course, that Tiberius is the son of the divine Augustus. That's what the Roman belief was, that Caesar would have been of God or on the same level as a god. Those who were there to test Jesus, they never had any intention of giving to the temple to begin with. Instead, they were still holding on to their coins that served no purpose in a Jewish temple. Of course, this issue has gone away, but it's changed in the way that it looks. It hasn't gone away completely. And being that this is the week just before Reformation Sunday, if you weren't aware, next week is Reformation Sunday, I want to share with you also some words from Martin Luther. In response to what Martin Luther believed was an epidemic of bad faith amongst both clergy and the everyday Christian, Luther wrote the Large Catechism. Yes, confirmation students, there is a Large Catechism as well. Be thankful that you don't have to go through that one. But it does have a lot of really wonderful and juicy bits in it. In part of Luther's explanation of the first commandment being, that you should have no other gods before me, he says this, "This I must unfold somewhat more plainly, that it may be understood and perceived by ordinary examples of the contrary. Many a one thinks that he has God and everything in abundance when he has money and possessions. He trusts in them and boasts of them with such firmness and assurance as to care for no one. Lo, such a man also has a God, Mammon by name, examples of being money and possession, on which he sets all their heart, and which is also the most common idol on earth. He who has money and possessions feels secure and is joyful and dismayed as though he were sitting in the midst of paradise. On the other hand, he who has none doubts and is despondent as though he knew of no God. For very few are to be found who are of good cheer and who neither mourn nor complain if they have not mammon. This care and desire for money sticks and clings to our nature, even to the grave." If this is the case, dearest siblings, what then are we to do? You've heard it said before that money, it is the root of all evil. And if this is the case, how are we, who need money to keep the lights on, able to function? See, the church, it exists in this very unique place. Because while we are people of Jesus Christ in the Spirit of God, we are also entirely of this earth, right? The confirmation students learned a couple weeks ago, Adam can be translated as mud man, literally of this earth. We as a church are meant to be a place where heaven meets earth, where the Spirit of God, who is of heaven, can act through those who have been created by God and placed here on earth. To do such work, it means using what others have meant for evil and turn it around for the good of one another. To turn this money that can corrupt into food for the hungry, aid for the hurting, and a place of worship and sanctuary for those who are in desperate need of this place, to know the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. In doing so, what we find is that as people of God, we ourselves, can become places in the world where heaven meets earth. It is in the moments when we use our gifts, our money, our skills, our talents, our singing, our bread, our time to listen and care for one another and to be stewards of this message and love of Jesus Christ. It is in those moments that the kingdom of heaven can break through in little ways here on earth. And then one can begin to get a sense of what eternal life with the eternal Father might look like, might feel like, is like. Now everybody has something that they can give for the church. And for the church, no matter how small they think their contribution may be, it makes up something so much greater. You have something that is worth celebrating, that can change the way we do life together here. God in Christ Jesus has looked upon you in love and has called you worthy. Worthy of being celebrated in all of the amazing good that you have to offer to the world. All of the things that you have done, all the things that you are doing, and all of the things that God knows that you will do in this life are so beautiful. Never underestimate what God can do through you. Jesus looked upon humanity and saw something worth saving, worth setting free from shame and guilt towards love for one another. Even when you feel as though you have nothing left to give, know that you have the love of Jesus Christ that never runs out and can be shared over and over again. A love that will never leave you, that comes from God's own Spirit in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church, or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.